Hey, it's Scott, and guess what? You're about to hear an ad. And that's both good and bad. It's good because ads are what make it possible for me to keep bringing you these episodes. And it's bad because, well, maybe you don't like listening to ads, and I get that. And the good news is, you don't have to. When you sign up to support the show, you get every single episode without any ads. Plus, you get all the bonus episodes. Yeah, did you know there are actually bonus episodes? And you can try it all for free just to see what it's like. If you're on an iPhone, just go to the What Was That Like podcast and at the top, click on Try Free and you're in. On Android, just go to whatwasthatlike.com/plus and try it out completely free. Once you've had the ad-free experience, you'll see why hundreds of other listeners are already doing it. But for now, here's another ad and then on with today's episode.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
What Was That Like? Contains adult language and content and is not intended for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to What Was That Like? I'm your host, Scott Johnson. This is a show where we talk to regular people, people just like you or just like me, who have found themselves in an extremely unusual situation. We'll hear their stories and get inside their head because we all want to know, what was that like? More information about each episode at whatwasthatlike.com. Here we go. Every year, thousands of people all over the world go hang gliding. Some people are experienced and, you know, pretty serious about the sport, and they own their own gliders and the other equipment. And there are others who are just kind of curious about what it feels like to soar through the air, you know, just silently, with the only sound being the wind in your face. Chris was in that second category. He and his wife, Gail, live here in Florida, and they were vacationing in Switzerland recently, and they booked a hang gliding adventure. And since neither of them had ever done any hang gliding, they would each have their own pilot who would be handling the glider. So two hang gliders, Gail and her pilot in one, and Chris with his pilot in the other one. So they climb to the top of a big hill, and Chris gets his harness on just as instructed. And when the wind is just right, he and the pilot go running down the hill, and within seconds, they're airborne and gaining altitude pretty quickly. Only one problem. Chris was not attached in any way to the hang glider. The pilot had somehow forgotten that critical part of the process. So Chris is literally hanging by his hands while they're thousands of feet in the air as the pilot tries desperately to land as quickly as he can. Makes you want to go hang gliding, right? And the fun thing is, the whole flight is on video. Chris had his GoPro camera attached to the back of the glider, so you can see the whole thing as it happens. The video is in the show notes for this episode at whatwasthatlike.com/14. And a little warning, it might not be something that everyone would want to watch. So let's find out what that was like from Chris. Before this happened, had you ever had any kind of close brush with death before?
Never. No, this was a first time for me for anything as crazy as that.
Wow. And hopefully the last, right?
Yeah.
All right. You live here in Florida, actually not too far from me even. I'm just up in the Tampa Bay area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So yeah, we're not too far, but this happened in Switzerland, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you were like on vacation and matter of fact, as I think I recall, this was the first day of your vacation.
Yeah. Me and my wife, we like to travel different places, and it was on our bucket list to come to Switzerland. We usually do something on vacation that's interesting. You know, normally it's zip lining. We've zip lined in, you know, four or five different countries. You know, it's something that we've always done. We've had our balloon before. She got me a skydiving trip for my 40th birthday. So, you know, we've gone to the air a few times. This time she, you know, was looking into the hang gliding and, you know, says, "You want to do that?" And I'm like, "Sounds cool. Let's do it."
So you both are kind of adventure seekers, it sounds like.
Nothing crazy. You know, zip lining's just, you know, zipping between. It's pretty safe. Hot air balloon was awesome. I love that. The floating up effortlessly was cool. Hang gliding was just another part of something like that. And that's the only thing we actually set ahead of time when we went to Switzerland. The rest of the trip was going to be just exploring.
You know, the common theme among all those things is heights.
Yeah.
So obviously neither of you have a fear of heights.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Okay. Good. Well, I actually bungee jumped once.
Mm-hmm. And, I haven't done that yet.
No, you got to try that. That's pretty cool. But what I found interesting was that the adrenaline doesn't leave your body very quickly. I had a hard time sleeping that night. So you got to Switzerland your first day. You're looking for I assume you probably booked this hang gliding trip ahead of time, right? You had a reservation.
Yeah, that's the only thing we did ahead of time was the hang gliding reservation. My wife picked it out, found it. Everything looked cool on her website. Safety rating was good. You know, like we always do, we check out the safety rating, the reviews, and all the reviews are great. And so we booked it.
Does the service that you use, do they have several pilots, or is this like a one-man operation, or how's it set up?
Now, there's several pilots. I think it's just, you know, luck of the draw who you get that day. And the owner wasn't actually at the facility. He was, I think he was on vacation. So we got two of the other pilots, and, you know, they were great. They picked us up at the hotel. They had another couple of guys that just finished up their flight, and they were raving about it. The guy in the front of me said this was the coolest thing he's ever done. He's done a lot of things. So we were all psyched up. And once we dropped them off, we started heading to the place to go get the gliders and get the other pilot.
So you were each going to be hang gliding, you and your wife?
We both did. We had two pilots go up and two hang gliders.
Okay. All right. I didn't realize that.
She had a beautiful flight.
Okay. Do you have any idea how experienced your pilot was?
They've both talked about it. The one guy that my pilot said he was doing it for like 10, 12 years. So, you know, I'm just going by what they say.
Well, and there's some kind of a license involved too, right?
So. Oh, yeah. I think somebody said at one point that my pilot did do some time training or working at the place in Orlando that does this.
Oh, okay. There's a hang gliding place in Orlando?
There's several in Florida. Yeah, there's no hill to jump off of in Florida, so they...
That's what I was thinking. There's no hills, yeah.
There's a little airplane that pulls you up, and then you release the cable.
And then you release it. Okay. So just before you got on this flight, did you or your wife, either of you, have any kind of hesitation or any kind of bad feeling at all about this?
No, not really. Not really. You know, before we left on the trip, I thought it was odd that I started getting really sharp pains in my right hand. I don't know if that's anything to do with anything, but before we left for the trip, I was talking to her and I'm like, "Oh my God, what is wrong with my hand? It's just all of a sudden shooting pains from my hand." It happened like twice. And I didn't think anything of it. So I don't know if, you know,
that's was that the wrist you broke?
Yeah. That was kind of weird.
Hmm. Foreshadowing.
Coincidence.
Okay, so you're getting ready to go. What kind of orientation do they give you before you take off?
On the way up the hill, they're driving up and they're joking around. They're showing us videos of previous flights and other people that were doing it, and they're making fun of the whole thing. It was pretty cool because they were cool guys. They were laughing and joking. You know, we go past the graveyard, and he points out this is all our former clients. You know, and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of good humor.
I wonder if they still make those jokes.
I don't know about that last one, but
so all right. So take us through what happened that day from when you first were, you know, like whatever kind of training they do to through the how everything played out.
We parked at a certain spot, and then we still had to walk up, you know, several hundred feet to get to the launch zone, helping them carry the bags and stuff up there. Once we got up there, we split up. My wife was with one pilot. I was with the other pilot, and they were setting up the wing, and they had us help stick the support rods in, and, you know, they were behind us checking it all out. Then came time to put the safety harness on. So, you know, he opens it up, puts it in front of me. Okay, put your foot here, pulls it up. And then he grabs the top part of it and, okay, put your hands through here. Your head goes here. And he cinches it all up. And then there's a bar that hangs from my harness that once we're airborne, I put my feet on and it levels me out.
So you're in kind of a Superman position.
Yeah. He had to get that just my height of, you know, the depth of my feet. So he set everything up on my safety harness perfectly. And then we practice running. I had to grab a handle on his right shoulder, and there was a hand grip on his left side also. So we practiced the run probably 3 or 4 times just so we were in sync and we, you know, got things going fast enough to get off the hill. After that, we walked underneath the glider, which was set up and ready to go. And he was doing a little checking behind him, which this is my first time hand gliding, so I'm not sure what's going on, what we do or anything. I didn't do any research on it. My wife set this up, so I assumed everything was good. We were ready to roll. So we walked up to the edge of the hill there, and we waited probably 2-3 minutes because they have little flags on sticks, and they wait for the wind to blow up the hill because there's a big lake in the distance and the wind blows up the hill, and it's a perfect launch place because you can just, as soon as you go off, it starts pulling you up. There's such a breeze coming up. So when the flag started going pretty good, he says, let's go, 1, 2, 3, run. And then we ran, and you're supposed to run till your feet leave the ground. And as soon as my feet left the ground, I was in a precarious situation. Didn't know if I did something wrong, if I didn't put my feet in the, you know, I'm supposed to drop the bar that I'm supposed to stand on. And I had no clue what was going on. People were asking, how come you didn't just jump right off? Well, in the video, it looks like I could, but actually I couldn't. It was way too high. The video was deceiving in that area.
You got some altitude pretty quickly.
Oh yeah. By the time I was trying to grab on and, you know, look up and see what was going on, I was already over a farmhouse, you know, and gaining altitude.
Did he, obviously the pilot must have immediately realized something was wrong.
Oh yeah. I'm supposed to be floating above him. And in turn, I was hanging below him.
Did he say anything to you at that point? Or
it was a struggle at first. We were both trying to, I didn't know what was going on. I'm grabbing, I'm, you know, trying to get a handhold. And he looked like he was trying to figure out what just happened. And I think he realized pretty quick. So he was trying to grab and try to pull me up a little bit, but he couldn't pull my weight up. And I couldn't pull my weight up because, you know, it was just a dead hang pretty much. And I think that's what caused us to veer off to the right immediately. In the video, we veer off to the right, and there's houses and there's some open fields there next to the houses. But I don't think he could have landed there because the wind was coming up the hill so hard that I don't think we would have even remotely landed anywhere around there.
Because when he first realized it near the beginning of the flight, I think he tried to land pretty quickly, right?
It looked that way, but I don't think there was a spot, and the way the wind was blowing, and when you're, I'm not an expert at hand gliding by any means, But there's the triangular brace that's in the middle of it that they hang on to, and they can turn and do all their maneuvers. To get the tip of the hang glider back down, they have to pull themselves in between that and move the weight distribution up front to get the glider to go back down. Well, he was stuck in back, and I was hanging on the landing gear, so there was no way to get the tip of that glider down.
Right. You guys were in a sort of a permanent gain altitude position.
Yeah, we were just kind of plowing through the air down the hill, because it was, you know, there was no way to angle that nose down.
What do you think your altitude was at that point? Or
I don't even know. I don't even know. Once we got, we've made the left again, and, you know, everybody says we gained altitude. Well, we didn't gain altitude. The hill just fell away from us. So,
Here's my hot take for today. If you see something advertised as a free trial, it might cost you more than you expect. At least that's my experience. I give up my credit card to try something for free for a week, then I forget about it, and now I'm paying for it every month without even noticing it. But when I signed up for Rocket Money, that ridiculous waste came to a screeching halt. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending, and it helps you lower your bills so you can grow your savings. It lets you see all of your subscriptions listed right there in one place. When you see a subscription you're paying for but you don't want, do you really want to spend an hour on the phone trying to track down some customer service agent to cancel it? Rocket Money can help you get rid of it with just a few taps. They also give me this great dashboard so I can see what I've spent this month compared to last month. And they'll even try to negotiate lower bills for me by up to 20%. So I'm spending less and saving more. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features.
Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/whatwas. That's rocketmoney.com/whatwas. rocketmoney.com/whatwas.
This episode is sponsored by Cook Unity. Go to cookunity.com/what or enter code WHAT before checkout for 50% off your first week. When Jeannie and I go out to eat at some local restaurant, one of the things I love to try is a curry dish. I just love it when a chef can get that perfect balance of spices. It's one of my favorite meals. But even better is to have an amazing curry meal without having to go out, like the one I had recently. It was cauliflower and chickpea coconut curry with steamed jasmine rice. And even though it was created by a professional local chef here in Florida, we enjoyed that meal right here at home, thanks to Cook Unity. And you know what else I love? All the prep and cooking is done for me ahead of time. So all I do is just choose the one I want, and 2 minutes later, I'm enjoying a tasty hot meal. It feels like I'm one of those wealthy podcasters with a chef on staff right here at home. Cook Unity meals arrive fresh. They've never been frozen. All of their packaging is earth-friendly, and it's cheaper than other delivery options. Oh, and you have to try that coconut curry.
Experience chef-quality meals every week delivered right to your door. Go to cookunity.com/what or enter code WHAT before checkout for 50% off your first week. That's 50% off your first week by using code WHAT or going to cookunity.com/what.
I'll confess, sometimes I let my podcast playlist get out of hand and I get way behind. But there's one show that I subscribe to and any new episode goes right to the top of the queue. That's the Jordan Harbinger Show. That's because I never have to figure out, okay, is this one going to be interesting or do I wait for the next one like I do for some shows? Because Jordan's conversations are always a must-listen for me. He talks to fascinating people from any category you can think of. Authors, scientists, athletes, you name it. He's talked to undercover cops who posed as mafia and the actual career mafia hitmen. And the stories he gets out of these people, just incredible. In one episode, he talked to Paul Holes. You might know that name if you're into true crime. He's the former investigator who uses really advanced methods to solve cold cases, including the Golden State Killer. And another one I really enjoyed was with Sam Harris, an author and neuroscientist who promotes skepticism and he doesn't mind taking on some seriously controversial topics like politics or religion. That one's going to make you think. Whenever a new episode of the Jordan Harbinger Show pops up, I already know it's going to be an episode that I'll enjoy listening to, and I'll bet you will too. For some episode recommendations, check out jordanharbinger.com/start or search for the Jordan Harbinger Show. That's H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Based on the size of the little cars that look like ants below me, I don't know. I would say 1,000 plus feet. The elevation of that hill was 4,000 feet, so I'm not sure exactly how high we were, but to the ground, it was 4,000 foot.
It's far enough down that if you fell down or if you dropped, you're not going to make it.
Nope.
When I saw the video on YouTube, did you edit the video yourself?
Yeah, I kind of mess around with stuff like that. So,
okay, and obviously, the little the annotations and the graphics that you put on there was a level of humor involved, and it, now that you're looking back on it, you can laugh, but I gotta say you had to have been just scared to death though.
I don't know if it was scared. I just tried to stay calm the whole way down, just concentrating on. I mean, at one point when I looked down, I envisioned myself falling. I kind of saw myself falling through the air in my mind. And that's when I just decided that that's not an option. And I'm just going to hang on as hard as I can.
And you were only hanging on with your hands, right? I mean, yeah. It's not like you could get that bar under your arm or, to get a better leverage or anything, right?
If hindsight, if I would have thought about getting both hands on that bar, because my right hand was just searching for something to grab onto most of the time and ended up being hanging onto the fabric of his pant leg at the end, which wouldn't have done me anything if I lost my grip with my left hand. Mm-hmm. But if I would have really thought about it and grabbed both hands on that bar or pulled myself up and put my elbow around it or something, that probably would have been a little easier.
I guess you'll know that for next time then.
Yeah. Next time I'm bringing extra bungee cords with me, so I don't have to worry about that.
Right. Yeah. And so I understand you tore a muscle in your bicep.
That's the tendon. Right? The bicep tendon is split. As the bicep is, biceps is two muscles. One's a thicker muscle, which is the bigger part of it. And one's a thinner one, which holds by a tendon to your shoulder. And that one kind of split because I was holding on too long.
And that was on your left arm that was on the bar the whole time.
Right? Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Could you tell exactly when that happened?
Oh, no. It was after I got out of the hospital. I realized that, when you work out and you do a little too much and you kind of pull your muscle out a little bit, my bicep felt like that and it wasn't going away. And then, I think I was in the hotel room with my sling on and I was moving something and my tricep muscle popped at the same time. And I was like, there's something wrong with my arm here.
But that must have happened in flight.
Oh, I'm sure it did. I read a quote by someone in the saying that, normal person uses 40% of their strength. And he says, if I tore a tendon in one of my muscles, then I use over 100%.
And so even after that muscle was torn, you still kept hanging on.
I had no other choice.
You weren't necessarily using that muscle so much to hang though. It was more like your hands, right? Is that where you felt the weakness was in your hand?
I don't know if it was a weakness or I didn't really feel anything, but just holding on was the only thing on my mind. I wasn't, this is hurting or anything. I just locked on and that's pretty much what I did. And it could have happened when my feet hit the ground and I got my grip got pulled off. Maybe that's when it tore. I don't know.
What's interesting is the total time that you were hanging was, I believe, 2 minutes and 14 seconds.
Yes. Yeah.
Just hearing that number, it doesn't seem like a very long time.
Yeah.
But
no.
for somebody, you could, you know, go find a chin-up bar or something and just hang there for a couple of minutes and see how long it is, right?
Yeah.
Especially when you're in a situation like that where you're thousands of feet above the ground, man.
And I thought it took forever. I thought I was guessing because since my wife took off before I did and I landed before she did, she was up in the air for like 15 minutes. So I'm thinking it was like 5 minutes. But when I got the video back, I looked at it and I'm like, all right, only 2 minutes, 14 seconds.
And when did she understand? When did she realize that you guys were having a problem?
She really didn't know the actual true story until we were in the ER. And the pilot went with us to the ER and he sat with us the whole time. So he got up to go get his car or his keys or go to the bathroom or something. And she's like, what, did you just land hard? Because she never knew what happened. She said, did you land bad? Did your hand come down or something? And I'm like, I was never attached. And that's when her mouth hit the floor. And she's like, are you kidding me?
Wow. Well, it's kind of better that she didn't know when it was happening, right?
Right.
Talk about the landing. How did that happen? When you, like, I mean, how far off the ground were you when you dropped?
My feet actually touched the ground. It's a GoPro that was filming it. So it's got the fisheye. So it looks like we're actually higher than we were, but, we're coming in and I saw the ground coming up and I was, you know, very glad to see it because I had about another 5 seconds left in my left hand grip. I mean, my hand was opening and I didn't have much left in me, but, I looked down and I just, you know, pointed my toes a little bit and, because we are coming in about 45 miles an hour. And as soon as my toes hit the ground, it just kind of pulled my grip off and I just hit the ground pretty hard and did a couple of flips or rolls. And I sat up and I just, you know, composed myself. And, you know, I just, I hit the ground. It didn't knock the wind out of me or anything. I sat up and I just was like, wow, what just happened? And then I'm like, something's not right. And I looked down at my wrist and it was all bulged out and I can just start feeling the dull, you know, something's not right feeling. And so I looked down and I says, my wrist is broken.
Still, that's, you know, I mean, think about if you fell out of a car at 45 miles an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, you know, it could have been a lot worse.
Definitely. Oh yeah. Good thing I had a helmet on, you know, cause I did hit my face, my glasses pushed in a little bit. I got a scrape on my forehead. My left bicep was just ripped to pieces. Like I drug it on a street after come falling out of a car. Yeah.
So the pilot kind of dropped you off and then he continued and landed. How far away was he when he stopped?
I think he was about 100 feet or so. He flew over a fence post and he ended up landing in a gun range because there's a gun range. I don't know why they have a gun range just above their landing strip, but there's a gun range there. So he landed in a gun range.
That could have been a whole other level of complexity to this story, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So he got himself unbuckled pretty quick. And in my portion of the video, which I didn't post, I mean, he was breathing so heavy just, you know, because it took everything he had to get that thing down, how he did. So he was just gasping for air and he unhooked and he came up to me and he just said, just don't get up. Don't get up. Just stay still. Stay still. Stay, you know, he's expecting I'm going to shock out or something. And I just said, my wrist is broken. I don't know how I stayed calm through the whole thing for some reason. I said, my wrist is broken. We need to go get this taken care of. I says, you know, he's like, just stay still, just stay still. And I'm like, I'm fine. I can get up. So we got,
you know what? Sometimes people in shock think they're fine.
Yeah, I know.
Can get up, you know?
Yeah. I kind of knew it. I knew my wrist was broken and that's the only thing I felt that was off.
Just as a complete aside, what kind of work do you do? I mean, are you exposed to emergency situations at all?
No, I up until this week, I was a parts manager at a Porsche Volkswagen dealership.
Okay. It's not like you're an EMT or something that you see emergencies on a regular basis.
I got four brothers and a sister, so I've seen enough of, you know, broken arms and blood and gore. So
it's good to know how you'll react in a situation like that, though, because most people don't know because they've never been exposed to that.
And I think that's the whole thing is just remaining calm and thinking things through instead of freaking out. I mean, I've had so many people say, how weren't you not screaming your brains out and freaking out? And I think if I did that, I wouldn't have held on.
Right.
Cause that you use up more energy doing that. And
that's right. Panic is never good.
Yeah.
It's never good. So how did you get to the hospital? Did you land near a road so an ambulance could get to you, or what happened then?
The field I landed in was, I think it was pretty much a cow pasture. And then after that was the gun range. And then a few more fields up was the actual landing site. So the road went behind everything. So once we got stood up and started walking, he says, we need to get to the road so our van can pick you up. So we start getting over there. So I had to climb underneath two electric fences with a broken wrist. He's like, duck down lower, you know. So climbed underneath two electric fences and got to the road. And we walked down the road a little bit. And then his partner with the van came pulling up. And they're like, we're taking you to the hospital. It's right over here. It's real quick. Come on, get in. And I'm like, I'm not getting in anything until my wife is sitting here with me.
And how far away was she?
She was down. She was at the regular landing site. She was waiting for me to land. She asked her pilot. She's like, when's my husband coming in? Which way is he coming in? And he kind of saw us on the way down because she has a video of her flight and it's beautiful. And coming into landing, I see him looking down to our area. And, you know, he's like, I think he's down already. There might have been an issue. So she's like, all right, whatever. So she's just having a
statement of the year.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Wow. So we pulled the van around, to the actual, hang gliding place. And my wife's standing there just looking around, having a beer, just waiting for me to show up. And I'm like, yeah, come here. We got to go to the hospital. And that's when, you know, we all got in and we went to the emergency room. And you know, it took a while. We did some x-rays and went back and did some more x-rays. And they told us, you know, it's going to have to have surgery to repair it. So I was given the option of doing it now today or when I get back home. And we just got there. So we had seven more days left. So we just decided, let's just do it now. And the pilot stayed with us the entire time. I mean, his flight's insurance covered everything, so we didn't have to do anything there. He stayed with us until it was like 11 p.m. I didn't get surgery yet because it's Switzerland with a lot of mountains, and the helicopter brought three other people in while I was in there who were in worse shape than I was. So I got pushed back on the surgery table, so... It was, I was scheduled to go in at 11:30 PM and, at 11 o'clock, I just told my wife, I'm like, you can't do nothing for me here. I mean, I'm going to be whacked out in surgery. I said, just, you know, he was going to drive her back to the hotel. And I said, just go back to the hotel and, you know, get me some clean clothes and come back tomorrow.
Hey, this is Scott. Did you know we offer a premium feed of this show that is completely ad-free and there are bonus episodes? Go to whatwasthatlike.com/plus or just click the link in the show notes of any episode to learn more and to sign up. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, you can sign up right there in the app by clicking try free at the top of the episode list. And I hope to see you in the premium feed soon.
So she wasn't too happy about that, but she did, and I went into surgery at 11:30, and I didn't get out till 3:30 a.m. It was interesting waking up out of anesthesia in a strange hospital and with everybody speaking German. It took me a while to figure that one out.
And so how long were you in the hospital?
I got out of the hospital at like 3 o'clock the next afternoon. So it was from... our flight was, it was before noon. So it was only, you know, a day or so, a little over a day.
And you continued your vacation from there?
Yeah, we went sightseeing and stuff. I took it easy for a day at the hotel. You know, we had to go get more bandages and treatments and stuff. And I had to keep taking my sling off. There was a brace and a sling that was wrapped. So I had to keep taking that off every day and putting new bandages on. And we ended up, you know, we didn't get to do what we wanted to do. We wanted to go golfing. We wanted to go hiking. You know, we didn't get to do that. But we hopped on the train and we went to Lucerne and saw the Lucerne lion that's carved into the wall in Lucerne. And we just went around and check different places out, the restaurants and shops and the views, you know, just checking things out.
Yeah. You're already there. Why not? Right.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea what actually happened as to, you know, why did this go wrong? Was it just simple forgetfulness, or did you talk to the pilot about it?
I didn't really. Well, we questioned him when we got to the hospital. My wife was questioning him a lot. And after the fact, my wife and I spoke about it. And I asked her how her pilot went through the whole process. And her pilot verbally announced everything he was doing as he was doing it. My pilot, you know, once we got the harness on and we got underneath there, he didn't. I think it was just he must have got distracted and just skipped a few steps because he didn't verbalize any of that.
Right. He just had his mental checklist that he's probably done hundreds of times.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. You think of something that's that ingrained and you've done it so long to how can you forget such a critical step? That just seems really odd, but yeah. Hey, everyone's a human, right? We can all.
And that's how I'm looking at it. I mean, I'm alive to tell the story. You know, I got, you know, two surgeries coming up still. I'm going to have the plates removed from my wrist next month, and then my shoulder scoped out the month after that. So he's human. He did all he could in the video. You can see he's flying with one hand holding onto my safety harness, and you know he's trying to make a beeline landing, getting us down quick. So it's human error. I really can't, you know, point fingers. I'm not that way.
And it sounds like, I mean, I would, at least I'm just imagining that throughout this flight, as scared as you were, he must have been just terrified himself.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like I said, when he got to the ground, he was gasping for air. I mean, it took all he had to get us down and do that. So.
And I understand that, or I read that the incident is being investigated by flight authorities in Switzerland, or what do you know what's happening there?
I've heard that too, but he actually went and reported himself. He went to the Swiss hang gliding authorities and reported himself and told them the whole incident. And, you know, the guy was devastated. He's never going to forget this for the rest of his life. I mean, he felt absolutely horrible about it because he couldn't explain what had happened. He says, I don't know. It was just human error. I don't know what happened. He reported himself, and I don't think there's really an investigation. I think they just might be updating their safety standards a little bit. From all the hand gliding places that I've received calls from that want to give me a free ride now.
free hand gliding for life, huh?
Just about, yeah. They all, you know, talk about doing a hang check. A lot of people talk about doing a hang check is when the glider is on the ground, you hook yourselves in, and then you just hang from the guy, the wires holding you up, and then you get up and you go, just to verify that you're locked in.
When I'm watching the video, it looks like we're watching from behind, mm-hmm. but it looks like there's another camera out front swinging back and forth. Yeah. Is there another video facing you guys?
That was their camera. My GoPro was taped to the back tail of that thing pointing down so that my mm-hmm. camera was attached to the back. His camera may or may have not even been on because it was flopping back and forth. I mean, he wasn't touching it. He was just worried about getting me down.
Right.
If there wasn't any footage on there, I'm sure it's been deleted. by the time I got my camera back when I was in the ER, the camera footage was deleted also.
Wait a minute. Say that again. What was deleted?
My footage off of my camera was deleted.
How did you still have the video then?
A place called salvagedata.com. They undelete video. They dig down into all the sectors and they pull the video out and rebuild it. They do hard drives when the hard drives crash and they mm-hmm. retrieve information. That's what they specialize in. So I sent it off to them and they pulled the whole video back.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
You know, because my primary business is computer repair and I do data recovery myself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of times people think they can just format a drive and all the stuff's gone, but it's not really gone, obviously, because that's amazing that they were able to get that back. And what did the hang gliding place say about why that was deleted?
I don't know if it was my company, I don't know if I would have done the same thing, just trying to do damage control. Cause you know, the last thing I want to do is put someone out of business. Last thing I want to do is hurt a whole community of people that do this for a living. I mean, I've been reached out to by umpteen hand gliding associations wanting to know if I'd be willing to help them in their safety procedures, or, you know, I was told that I brought a lot of attention to hand gliding again. And I just, you know, it's not what I...
But is this good attention, though? That's the question.
It's brought attention to it. And I think that if they do the safety checks like everybody says they should be doing, you know, that's the way it should be done. But wasn't my intention putting this video on to hurt that or to make it look bad. Pretty much have a YouTube page just to throw stupid videos on to show my family and friends. You know, I got a lot of movie trailers and stuff, and we go on trips, and I'll add my video and I'll share it with my family and friends. No idea that that video was going to do what it did.
Yeah, it's kind of gone viral a little bit, huh?
Oh, yeah.
If I were in their shoes, I would be thinking, man, this guy's an American. Americans sue everybody. And what do we have to do to protect ourselves?
Well, we did actually talk with a lawyer in Switzerland, not really to you know, retire, you know, from suing the pants off of somebody. We just wanted to know what our legal rights were. Switzerland's an entirely different country than U.S. It doesn't have ambulance chasers. They put a cap on things over there. So what we get back if we, you know, did do a lawsuit or anything would be anything we've lost, you know, any funds that we've lost because this happened. So, you know, we went out and bought bandages, and we took all our dirty clothes and stuck them in my wife's suitcase, and we went to the post office and mailed that back to our house. So we didn't have to carry two big suitcases. I had a 70-pound camera backpack that I wasn't going to be able to handle. My wife probably wasn't either. So we bought another case for that. So we, you know, my watch got ripped off my arm. I don't know where that is. Just you know, it's whatever you've lost.
So just, yeah, reimbursing your expenses were. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the big question. Would you try it again?
Definitely. My wife wants to do it again. She had a fabulous trip. I mean, just she's apprehensive to share her video or any of her pictures because of what happened to me. But I saw the pictures and I saw her video, and it was absolutely beautiful. I mean, you can see the background when I take off the mm-hmm. lake and the.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
And she was even higher. So she said it was like flying, effortlessly just soaring through the sky. So I do want to try it again. It's something I think I should do to get over this.
Well, yeah. And thinking from, you know, from a statistical standpoint, hang gliding is like skydiving. You know, it's from the numbers, it's a very safe sport. And yeah. for something yeah. like this to happen, what happened to you is just such a small chance. I mean, if you go again, the chances of it happening a second time got to be astronomical.
It's just me. That's my bad luck.
Right.
No, it was like a one in a million kind of thing. I mean, you don't hear of this happening much at all. I did a little research on Google just trying to see if there was anybody else that had the same thing happened. I didn't find many that lived to tell the story, but one that came up was a girl in Canada that did it, and she was unhooked and the pilot had her wrapped in her legs underneath her and she fell to her death. And I think in that instance, the pilot actually took the SD card out of the camera and swallowed it.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Even that doesn't destroy it.
No. And they got it back. They got it back. And he was charged with criminal neglect or something like that. So, and that's not, I'm not looking to put anybody in a bad spot. I think the guy, you know, he feels horrible about the whole situation. And he will probably for the rest of his life.
Yep. He'll never forget it. And you'll never forget it.
Nope.
Well, Chris, that's a wild story. Is there any aspect of it that we didn't talk about that you wanted to talk about?
when people ask me if, you know, I do it again, I say, yeah. And they're like, you're crazy. And, you know, we go on trips every third year or something like that to a different country. We try something different. I'm 54 years old now. I'm, you know, still young enough to get around and go do this stuff. And I'm going to live my life. You know, I'm not going to be scared to go somewhere or do something that might look scary because I can die driving to work in my car. So I'd rather while I'm doing something fun.
I agree. That's the way to look at it. Well, I appreciate you coming on here, taking your time. I love this story, and good luck on your next hang gliding trip.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode. My goal for each show is to introduce you to people and stories that you just won't find on other podcasts. If you want to help support the show, you just need to subscribe, and that way you'll never miss an episode. You can click on any of the subscribe buttons on the website, which is whatwasthatlike.com. You'll see all the links right there at the top where you can subscribe directly to this show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, or on whatever app you use to catch your podcasts. And you'll see there are also links to Twitter and Instagram, so you can follow us there, and I hope you do. And if you really want to connect with me and get in on the discussion with other listeners to this show, you can join our private Facebook group. You can find that at whatwasthatlike.com/Facebook. And of course, you can always email me directly at scott@whatwasthatlike.com, or just go to the website and click on contact. I'd love to hear what you think of this episode or a previous episode. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you on the next show where we'll once again ask the question, what was that like?